हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। ओके सो नाउ वी आर ऑन इन भक्ति रसामृत सिंधु द वेस्टर्न ओशन थर्ड वेव चैप्टर 42 फ्रेटर्नल लविंग अफेयर्स Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna entered the lake of Kaliya, his intimate friends became so perturbed that their bodily colors faded and they all produced horrible gurgling sounds. At that time, all of them fell down on the ground as if unconscious. Similarly, when there was a forest fire, all of Krishna's friends neglected their own protection and surrounded Krishna on all sides to protect him from the flames. This behavior of the friends towards Krishna is described by thoughtful poets as Vyavichari. In Vyavichari, ecstatic love for Krishna, there is sometimes madness, dexterity, fear, laziness, jubilation, pride, dizziness, meditation, disease, forgetfulness, and humbleness. These are some of the common symptoms in the stage of Vyavichari ecstasy for Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. So this is what was the overall quality here was tears. Yeah. Oh no, this was okay. Okay. Srila Jiva Goswami. Agrata, agriya, directed towards Krishna, and trasha, caused by Krishna, are absent. So agriya is, where is agriya? Ferocity. Right? And trasha, which is the trasha, sudden fear, are absent since friends are always friendly towards him and never terrified of him. Alasya is absent, means laziness, and less favorable for serving Krishna. Right? They might show laziness, just for some aspect in the pastime. This does not apply to those types of alasya, etc., which are appearances only. So as a sattvika bhava or some kind of anubhava connected, there might be an aspect of alasya, but that's coming from ecstasy. That's not coming from the direct aspects of the relationship itself. 33104, joy. When Krishna returned to his friends after driving out Kaliya, they lost control of their bodies in great joy. They could not stand on their feet and their words became incoherent. Srila Jiva Goswami, skalat pada in reference to speaking means that they could not properly distinguish the proper endings to phrases. Vivasanga in relation to words means that they could not distinguish proper endings on words. Otherwise, it means stumbling on their feet and powerless limbs. Yeah, so it just means that the same point that here, it means that what they're saying, they're not necessarily saying it with all the proper grammar and everything like that. They're just so much in ecstasy, they're just speaking and they can't tell like that. 33105. Stai Baba. When there is a rati, attraction based on mutual trust between two friends as equals without respect, it is called Shakya Rati. This becomes the Stai Baba of the Sakya Rasa. So that means everyone in Sakya Rasa will have this. Then we'll see is that some might have a touch of dasi in there, a touch of a parental in there, or it has the equalness, or that might be the equalness is even more, it has the intimacy like that. 33106, so that'll be the basis, is that there's equal, mutual trust, but no respect. It just means that you just deal nicely with them. 33106. Deep familiar trust without restriction is called Vishrambha, confidence. This Vishrambha or Shakya Rati increases gradually through pranaya, prema, sneha, and raga. Thus, Shakyarati has five types. Footnote 9. The examples of rati, pranaya, prema, sneha, and raga are given in that order in the verses from 107 to 113. The definition of pranaya is given in verse 108, says that pranaya is that type of Shakyarati where respect does not appear at all, even when there are opportunities to give respect. Therefore, pranaya would appear only in the Vraja Gopis in a continuous manner, and would appear occasionally in other friends such as the Pandavas. It does not appear at all in Dasya Bhaktas. So it means they're not offering that respect, even though it would be a position to offer respect. You know, like say you're in a formal occasion and all that, like the Cowherd Boys and all that is a formal occasion, but they'll still be, you know, chatting amongst each other and all that. You know, it's just like kids are there. They're in the classroom, they're with the teacher, but they're still chatting amongst themselves, you know, because of that relationship with themselves. They don't see the need to be formal. Unfortunately, that's not the relation, as it mentions here. But in Dasya Bhaktas, it doesn't at all. So that means with the teacher, they're not having that proper mood, you know, like that. Okay. So then, Srila Jiva Goswami. Gada Vishvasa Vishesha means special deep faith. A feeling of non-difference between two persons in all ways, and there should be no restrictions, then it is called Vishrumbha. Right? So it's just, there's no restriction. It means whatever's the nature of their particular rati, they can follow that to its extreme, and it will always work perfectly. You know, it's like it's unlimited depths can be how you say, I guess I think the technical word is plumbed. You know, it means that they can whatever is there within the shaka amongst the shakas, then that aspect according to their nature that can always be applied. It doesn't have any time that it cannot be applied. So this equality between them is always something that's there, and so it'll never not be that. 33107. So that was the, okay, Stai Baba. Okay, now this is a Shakya Rati. Oh, Rakura, son of Gandini, you should tell Mukunda, quote, possessor of the mark of Garuda, when will Arjuna be able to embrace you, unquote. Srila Prabhupada. When there are dealings between Krishna and his friends, which are completely devoid of any feelings of respect, and they all treat one another on an equal level, such a static love and friendship is called stai. When one is situated in this confidential, friendly relationship with Krishna, one shows symptoms of love such as attraction, affection, affinity, and attachment. An example of stai was exhibited, you saw the double there, when Arjuna told Akrura, my dear Gandini, please tell Krishna when I shall be able to embrace him in my arms. Right, so it doesn't have that element of respect that he's the Supreme Lord, or that's just friendship. So he's just asking Akrura, you know, when will I be able to embrace him? 33108. When Shakyarati is completely free of any touch of respect, though there are clear opportunities to show respect, it is called pranaya. Right, so that was what was being quoted before. Srila Jiva Goswami. The definitions for prema, sneha, and raga are the same as those given previously. Qualities of pranaya are being discussed. Footnote 10. And in Madhurya Rasa, the order of development is Madhurya Rati. Prema, sneha, mana, pranaya, rag, anurag, and mahabhav. Right, so that's the order here. So with these, it seems to start with the pranaya. So that's why it'll give the different definitions. And we saw before is that when it was mentioning about the relationship between them, that particular attachment that they might have, that particular attraction in the Dasya Sakya and Vatsalya, they have one set of terminology. In Shanta, that has a different set of terminology. In Madhurya, it has a different set of terminology. Because the application will be slightly different, how they're ordered, how it'll be. So we see with the Cowherd Boys, the first thing that you see manifest is that even there's no touch of respect. They're just equals. And so they're just friendly. So at any time, no matter what the situation, they can interact and all that with Krishna. You know, okay, if their mother showed his house, they might lean over and whisper instead of just shouting and not like they would out in the field. You know, so they're going to consider the other aspects of rasa. But it doesn't mean that it changes like that. While we see in Dwarka that, you know, sometimes it changes. If the majesty becomes so great, then they'll switch and go into dasya. Then they'll show that respect. Or in Vaikuntha, it'll never go beyond. They'll always have respect. It's just the way it is. They will never not have respect. Like that. Okay. Probably because we're taking up more of the screen than goes on my phone, which is fine. But I'm just saying, like before, if you raised your hand, I could see you. But now we have more people than fit on one page of the screen. So if you have something, just just unmute yourself and just start talking if you have a question. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. 33109. That should move to the middle. Though the devatas, headed by Shiva, began praising Krishna, announcing his supreme position as the Lord, Arjuna, Krishna's friend in Vraja, just put his arm with hair standing on end upon Krishna's shoulder and wiped the dust from his peacock feather. Srila Prabhupada. When there is full knowledge of Krishna's superiority and yet in dealings with him on friendly terms, respectfulness is completely absent. That stage is called affection. There is one brilliant example of this affection. When the demigods headed by Lord Shiva were offering respectful prayers to Krishna, describing the glorious opulences of the Lord, Arjuna stood before him with his hand on his shoulders and brushed the dust from his peacock feather. Because, when this exactly takes place, but it much of the time happens when Krishna is coming back from the cowherd fields in the evening to come back to Vraja. I mean, back to Vrindavan, then the demigods will take the opportunity, because now he's just moving with the cows and all that, because he's not playing with his friends. Then they'll come down and then they'll come and offer prayers and different things like that. But it's saying while this is going on, then his friend Arjuna, he just, you know, puts his arm around his shoulder and, you know, there's some dust on his peacock feather from the cows and he's just, you know, knocking that off. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you have your hands around the guy, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, he's cool. You know, so the whole point, it's not that they don't know his greatness, but it doesn't in any way affect their dealings. So that's the whole point, is that in Vraja it doesn't matter. So the demigods are there because he is great, he's God. But for the cowherd boys, it's like, him being God is like ornaments. You know, just like for us in bhakti, the direct activities, direct dharma is the main thing. And the secondary, then, you know, with the externals, then that's ornaments. So with Krishna in Braj, that primary, that prema between him and the devotees is the main thing. And these other aspects of him being the, you know, being Brahman or Paramatma, these are just ornaments. So they don't change the flavor. They don't change the rati. You know, so the sthaya doesn't have any effect. You know, 33110. So Prabhupada says that's a brilliant example, right? So it's very good. So just that affection is there. It doesn't matter. O Mukunda, though you, the Supreme Lord, have appeared as the friend of the Pandavas, they met with so many calamities, such as losing the kingdom, living in the forest, and acting as servants in someone else's house. However, their sweet friendship for you doubled in spite of this. Footnote 11. The definition of prema is that rati becomes so firm that there's no danger of it disappearing. Bhakti Rasamrita 3.2.81. Right, so that was the first one, right, was the aspect of pranaya, just that affection. Right, and so then here, that the particular rati that they have, is it won't change. Srila Prabhupada. When the Pandavas were banished by Duryodhana and forced to live incognito in the forest, no one can trace out where they were staying. At that time, the great sage Narada met Lord Krishna and said, "My dear Mukunda, though you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-powerful person, by making friendship with you, the Pandavas have become bereft of their legitimate right to the kingdom of the world. And moreover, they are now living in the forest incognito. Sometimes they must work as ordinary laborers in someone else's house. These symptoms appear to be very inauspicious materially, but the beauty is that the Pandavas have not lost their faith and love for you, in spite of all these tribulations. In fact, they are always thinking of you and chanting your name in ecstatic friendship." So that primary aspect never goes. So we see is that when they're discussing in the Mahabharata about their position and all that, that you know, they're in the forest, why they're there, you know, that Duryodhana and Yudhishthira Maharaj will say is because, you know, we took that oath that we'll go to the forest. We accepted that terms. We'll go to the forest for 12 years. And then, but Bhima's point is that, but it was by deception that they won. They didn't win fairly. So therefore, because they won by deception, you can also use deception to defeat them. So there's no need for us. We can just right now march back to there and just defeat them, right? And then, and no one will complain. If they did that, no one would complain. In fact, the ones who might complain will already be dead, right? You know, so the 100 brothers, Sakuni, Karna, they'd all be dead. So no one will complain. The citizens will be happy. The seniors will be happy. Everybody will be happy. You know, so in there, they're arguing over these things, but they're only arguing over the secondary elements, the secondary dharma. They're not arguing over their affection for Krishna, right? They're just saying, in this situation that Krishna's put us into, how should we deal with it? So Yudhishthira's point is, you know, we've accepted this vow, so we'll stay here for this much time. And Bhima and Draupadi are of the opinion, no, we should go back to the, you know, we should go back, defeat them and be in our natural place. Why? Because Kshatriyas are supposed to protect the people. Duryodhana is not really going to do that as well. So we should go and do it. That would be proper. Does that make sense? So this element of the primary becoming disturbed due to external situations just doesn't happen. That's the element of prema. On prema, the Stai Bhava never becomes affected. It's always fixed. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of Narada at the time the Pandavas were living incognito. Iyam amangalaya, no, amangala, bhavatu. Let that calamitous situation be. It is in the imperative, expressing farewell to let one do as one pleases. Forget about that situation. That is because that misfortune did not reduce the friendship that the Pandavas had with the Supreme Lord. But rather, parantu, it increased their relation of Shakya with him. Quote, the love for you was not produced by your helping them, but by experiencing your profusion of wonderful qualities unequal to anyone else. So not because he helped, that's why their love for him increased. Their love is increasing because they're tasting the wonderfulness of his unlimited qualities. You know, and by being Shakya, there'll be certain qualities, you know, that'll be their Vibhava, that'll be the inspiration for them. And so just contemplating those, discussing those, hearing about those, then they're just more and more in love with Krishna. So it's not because he took care of them or he protected them. So we may be like that in the beginning, but these are the symptoms of prema, is that it's not affected by this. Because it's not that when things aren't going to nice, then we doubt Krishna, and when things are nice, then, oh, he's so fabulous. He's wonderful all the time. And just contemplating, being absorbed in him, the love for Krishna increases no matter what the external position is. So you can see how much affection must be there, how great, how wonderful Krishna is, that despite, you know, you could say, you know, from our perspective, a supreme position of anxiety, having emperorship means no one is a competitor to them in their authority. you know, and they're emperors of the world, and that literally means the world. That doesn't mean like you say, you know, the kids on the block and all that, and you know they have a yo-yo contest, and whoever won, and he's the undisputed, that's the word, undisputed, you know, yo-yo championship of the universe or something like that, you know. Yeah, amongst the three of them.
Unrivaled.
Yes. Unrivaled, yes, unrivaled. Thank you. So has unrivaled, like that, all that's lost. And not only that, the amount of wealth is also, it's never been seen. The Cordovas have already been, always been the kings and emperors. But now we see is that wealth that's there has never been seen by Duryodhana. And he's a materialist, so he will notice. So that position, they lose all that, and now they're in the forest with nothing. And not only that, they're being harassed. Duryodhana goes out of his way to make them uncomfortable. But it doesn't affect them. They don't think badly about Krishna. They just think about Krishna and their relationship with Krishna, because it has nothing to do with their external relationship, their external situation. So the material situations don't apply there. So that's the importance of understanding the difference between the primary dharma and the secondary dharma. Is that the secondary dharma does not affect the primary. But it's just there as a support. So if it's there, nice. If it's not there, it's still, life goes on. Devotion goes on. Their appreciation of your qualities destroyed their experience of suffering, which you did not prevent, and increased their prema for you. So their experience of suffering, but Krishna didn't stop that. But it still, it increased their prema for Krishna, because they just became more and more absorbed in how wonderful he is. Using the perfect tense for vavridhe, it increased, indicates that it was an established fact, thus showing that the prema was very firm. So using that particular tense, then it's showing that it's not that, you know, it might, you know, it just might be there, but it shows that it's there, and it's a fixed being there. You know, like saying he's stable or he's steady, like just saying he's nice. No, he's always nice. So that it's bringing out that aspect, thus showing that the prema was very firm. Quote, though he was not visible during these calamities, they could directly experience those qualities. For myself, Narada, however, I can only indirectly infer the Lord by recalling his qualities. Right, so they are always seeing Krishna absorbs there, but Narada is saying that I have to indirectly, by thinking of qualities, then go to, in that way, then be absorbed in Krishna. So they're just showing how much more direct it is, that aspect of prema that's there. You know, Narada is saying this, whatever is the position, but it's saying so we understand, we learn from that, what is the platform that prema wants us, that it's undisturbed, undeterred. 3.3.1.11. Sneha from the 10th canto. My dear king, other boys would sing and chanting songs appropriate to the occasion, and their hearts would melt out of love for the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:15-18, footnote 12. The definition of sneha is that the heart melts. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 3.2.84. Srila Prabhupada. Another example of acute affection for Krishna is given in the 10th canto, 15th chapter, verse 18 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the pasturing ground. Krishna felt a little tired and wanted to rest, so he lay down on the ground. At that time, many cowherd boys assembled there and with great affection began to sing suitable songs so that Krishna could rest very nicely. But, you know, so they wouldn't sing a song that they would, let's say, sing when they were dancing with Krishna or fighting with Krishna. They sang a song for him to rest nicely and be, you know, peaceful and comfortable. 3.3.12. When the black crowd Krishna sprinkled a rain of pastimes, all the mountains, cowherd friends, crumbled because of getting wet, colored with various mineral dyes, breathing heavily, revealed something astonishing. The river Saraswati, in charge of words, got blocked up, I guess, in the throat or the valley of the friend mountains, and streams of water, which were previously not visible, began to continuously flow from their eyes. And so this is the poetic aspect, is that they, okay, so. It's just Mataji's moved up. He bumped out Schnazzele. When, yeah, so it's just, they give these wonderful analogies that are there to show what's happening. So something's actually happening, an analogy is given to bring out a poetic way of expressing it. But it's not that it didn't, these things aren't happening like that. Sometimes it's taken, oh, Bhagavatam's just giving analogies and that. But no, these things are given to appreciate in a poetic way how things are going on. It's not saying that these things didn't happen. Srila Jiva Goswami. When the black rain cloud showers playful streams of water, Lilashrasam, something astonishing happened on the group of mountains, Gotreshu, which were like friends whose sides were covered with brilliant minerals like Gaurika, which were slipping down, Skalad, because of wetness, and which were increasing in size, Uchvashiteshu, because the trees growing up in the rain. At the base of the mountain, a river which used to flow became blocked up, and there was no visible river. Water began to flow constantly, Saranira. Saranira can also refer to a river called Karatoya. Right, so that's one meaning how you can look at it, you know, just to set the scene. The other meaning is as follows. When Krishna Mudire manifested his joyful pastimes, Lila Rasam, something astonishing happened to the group Gotreshu of his friends, whose bodies were painted with bright mineral dyes, and began to tremble, Skalad, because of the softness in their limbs, Ardar Dranga, produced by Prema, who began to breathe heavily, Uchvasiteshu. Words, Saraswati, which were previously present, became choked up in the throats. Broad streams of water, Nirodu Dara, which were not present previously in their eyes, began to flow constantly. All right, so the like you have in the mountain, if there's lots of rain from the rain clouds, then all the minerals start to run down. So that from them, and then the river, what's there, you know, what would be normally flowing, then stops. So they're speaking because the coward boys, you know, when boys get together, always talking, but that stops. And then the normal river, you know, that's not flowing, but the water from their eyes, that river begins to flow. Like that, because of their ecstasy and absorption of Krishna. So this was sneha. So the heart melting. So we see then he gets all those ecstatic symptoms. 3.3.113. When the cruel Ashwatthama showered invincible arrows at Krishna, Arjuna jumped forward and received the arrows on his chest. Those arrows gave pleasure to Arjuna like a shower of flowers. Srila Prabhupada. There's a nice example of the friendship between Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. When the fighting was going on, Ashwatthama, the son of Dronacharya, unceremoniously attacked Krishna. Although according to the prevailing rules of chivalry, one's chariot driver should never be attacked by the enemy. Ashwatthama behaved heinously in so many ways that he did not hesitate to attack Krishna's body. Although Krishna was acting only as a charioteer for Arjuna. When Arjuna saw that Ashwatthama was releasing various kinds of arrows to hurt Krishna, he immediately stood in front of Krishna to intercept all of them. At that time, although Krishna was being harmed by those arrows, he felt an ecstatic love for Krishna. And the and the arrows appeared to him like showers of flowers. Right. So this is the you know just another ecstatic symptom of all that. 3.3.114, another example of Raga, right? So that means this first one, that was Raga.
Hare Krishna Maharaj?
Yes, yes.
Yes, so actually when there is this type of description, can we say that, for example, for the poetry, it means poetry is more intense when the pure devotee go in from one way to another?
I mean, it's just a nice way of explaining it, since it's what the whole point of the bhava is, it's emotions that are experienced. So then by saying it in that particular way, it brings about what it means. If you just say as, okay, Krishna came, the cowboys saw him, they couldn't speak, and, you know, tears were flowing from their eyes. You know, we'll just take it as an external situation.
Yes.
But if we say, but you're explaining how the heart is melting. So then because of the rain cloud of Krishna, you know, because he's compared to a black cloud, then on the mountain, then we see that the minerals that are there, you know, are being washed, you know, away.
Yes.
You know, so you see that. And then the river that was flowing by at the base stops. But then this other river then is you know, that's in the sky is then flowing. So then it brings about so much more the emotional content.
Yes.
So we see is that, you know, it'll be used nicely in this way, you know, in so many of these occasions you can see. And, you know, and other times things, and just expressing it, you'll see amongst themselves, they'll talk about, you know, this one's like this and that one's like that. And they'll use all these poetic descriptions because then it increases the taste that is there. Mm-hmm. That's the important aspect.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
And Maharaj, to hear about that thing also develop some emotion.
Yes, because the whole idea that, because this were, as we'll see, it will come up when we finish Nectar Devotion, then we'll start studying the Natya Shastra. Is that the opening of it, its definition is Natya Shastra is through the medium of the situation of the stage, the particular play that's there, the actors, their ornaments, their makeup, and the delivery is supposed to create a experience within the, you know, mind and heart of the audience so that they actually taste, you know, the transcendental element that, of connection with Krishna's pastimes. That's what drama's for.
Yes.
So then by explaining in these poetic ways, because your dance, drama, poetry, music, they all go together because they're all expressions of the same aspect of rasa. They just have their own unique forms of how they're presented.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's essential. I mean, it's a very powerful way of using. So we see here also the material platform and the secondary dharma, people use poetry for enhancing, you know, that taste in relationships and material qualities and material elements and all that. And, you know, situations, the beauty of the forest or, you know, a particular relationship or someone's great qualities and,
yes,
you know, how you say, you know, so you're saying like that, you know, you can just say, okay, there were 600 guys on horses and they were ordered to make an attack and they ran down the thing. But what wasn't understood was that they were well fortified at the other end, and all of them died. Okay, that's the facts. Okay, that, you know, put that down on your paper, you'll get a mark for it. But instead of like that, they say, into the valley of death rode the 600, right? Right, so it brings out the emotions, what's going on there in that, the chivalry that's there, the great, because it's figured out that this is it, but they're willing to do it. So that greatness.
Yes.
So that's why facts are overrated. You know, it's the point is this, it's connection with truth is what makes it a value. So by bringing it in connection with the qualities and all this that Shastra's mentioned, then it will give it some kind of value. But if you apply it in the secondary dharma, then, you know, and material relationships and qualities, then it brings it out. So we see poetry is, you know, all these performing arts are, you know, powerful for evoking emotion and all that. So that's why we see is that in the spiritual world, this is just the standard way of talking. You know, that's just how they deal. Is that okay? That's why it says every word is a song, every step is a dance. Yeah? Okay. Alar Nanta, you had some comments or something?
In order to express the, like, you know, whatever you want to say, there are four methods. mentioned in Abhinaya, means expression, mode of. One is through words, another through facial expressions, and then there are two more. But hand gestures, another. But especially when you're writing a book, all others you cannot do. You're only doing the expressing through words. That's why then, like, the more poetic it is, there are 36 aspects in it. Like, one of the aspects is nirupna, which is getting an obscure meaning, and then all the 36 aspects enrich it to a very great extent.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah, so that the thing, the poetry can create an imagery to enhance the experience.
Yes.
But the point is the poetry has a value in as much as the imagery that you create has some connection to what you're talking about.
Yes.
You know, or at least the perception that someone has in that. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
So that's what we'll see. That'll come up when we get into the Natya Shastra. Then we'll see is that it very nicely, you know, gives all this background so we can appreciate what's going on. Okay. So then 3.3.114. Another example of raga. So otherwise, he didn't put raga on the last one. Because the previous one was sneha, you know, they're showing that. And then, so now he's giving another one. When Vrishabha, Krishna's friend, arrived at noon to pick flowers for making garlands for Krishna, by wandering all over the forest, the hot rays of the summer sun in Vrishabha's zodiac sign, Taurus, were like the cool rays of the moon for him. Right, so so we see is that the sun rays in the Vrishabha zodiac, it means like the sun is in Taurus, or in the sign of the bull. Vrishabha also can mean bull, right? So then the sun rays, then they don't in any way affect him. So we see that's one of the things of rag, is that that attachment and that is so great that something unpleasurable seems pleasurable, right? So we see before that something pleasurable is pleasurable, something unpleasurable, you know, it's unpleasurable, it reminds them of Krishna, like we saw previously, like that. But then you see here is that, you know, like the Pandavas, it's an unpleasant situation. They will say it's unpleasant, but they remember Krishna and become more and more absorbed. What we see in here is that something that's unpleasurable becomes pleasant. Right, so both the example of Arjuna accepting those arrows on behalf of Krishna, or Vrishabha going around the forest at noon to pick flowers, and that, and so the even though the sun was very bright at that time, you know, and, you know, like that, but it was still cooling like the moon. Srila Prabhupada. There's another instance of ecstatic love for Krishna and friendship. Once, when a cowherd boy named Vrishabha was collecting flowers from the forest to prepare a garland to be offered to Krishna, the sun reached the zenith. And although the sunshine was scorching hot, Vrishabha felt it to be like moonshine. That is a way of rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna. When devotees are put into great difficulties, even like the Pandavas, as described above, they feel all their miserable conditions to be a great facility for serving the Lord. Right? So it's not that it's a matter of that the Pandavas are not, they're just showing the examples, because they're taking from Shastra, the examples of these different manifestations. So at that point, the Pandavas are manifesting that aspect. This, you know, they, what was that one that they were before? Because it wasn't the Sneha, it was the Prema. Yeah, so the Prema is there. And then another example is there of sneha, another one's there is an example of raga. It's not that the Pandavas or anybody else don't have those. They're just showing the different examples to give you an idea. 3.3.115. Utkantitam, separation, not having met Krishna before. Remember, so this is then what's called in this group of rasas, is that that's there. While it was seen in Madhurya, then that's the Purva Raga and all those aspects. Hare Krishna. Oh, Krishna, the middle Pandava, Arjuna, while studying the military arts, embraced you by means of words mixed with his tears. Srila Prabhupada, another instance of Krishna's friendship with Krishna. Arjuna's friendship with Krishna was described by Narada, who reminded Krishna, when Arjuna was learning the art of shooting arrows, he could not see you for so many days, but when you arrived there, he stopped all his activities and immediately embraced you. This means that even though Arjuna was engaged in learning about the military art, he had not forgotten Krishna for a moment. And as soon as there was an opportunity to see Krishna, Arjuna immediately embraced him. Right? So that's the whole point, is that this element is so nicely and strong. He's a Kshatriya. He learns that. He's the best at this. And he's shooting arrows. There's no one that can rival him. He's the best. But we see this, when Krishna shows up, he immediately just drops that and goes over and embraces Krishna. So it's not like, yeah, I'll be with you in a minute, player. You know, please sit down. Yeah, I want to talk to you, but, you know, and then finish off. Like, he just immediately stops that and goes to Krishna. So that's the element of just that attachment, that relationship. You may be doing something, but, you know, then that relation, that aspect is stopped for then this higher. So here in connection with Krishna, it's perfect. But even we see in the secondary, that when you're dealing with relationships, there's always a hierarchy, so that the lower ones may stop for the higher. Does that make sense? So it just works, because it works. You can say, let's say you're doing something and then something comes up, you know, and so you take care of that and you know, but the others can't complain. Does that make sense? If it's a higher thing, if it's a lower thing, then that's another thing. Does that make sense? Like, let's say you're in a, you know, some kind of board meeting and all that, making a presentation. And then, you know, somebody calls about, you know, do we take out the garbage or not, you know, like that. Then if you take that call, then people will say, what? You know, we're doing much more important work than taking out your garbage. You can do that anytime. But if the guy's wife calls, then they may not like it, but they can't complain because they know that that actually has a, you know, a higher effect. Does that make sense? Viyoga, 3.3.116, separation after meeting. You protected us, your friends, from the fire of digestion of Agasura, from the poison of Kaliya, and from the appetite of the forest fire. But how will you protect us, despairing friends, from the attack of the fever of separation, which is far more ferocious than these three dangers? Right? So they're saying that separation, because being with Krishna is so wonderful, that the separation is so great that he's you know, the poison of Agasura, I mean, the Kaliya, the digestion of Agasura and the forest fire itself, but they consider those not very important compared to this, the pain of separation. 3.3.117. Atrapi purvavat proktas tapadyas tad dasa. As previously explained, 3.2.116. The 10 conditions, starting with tapa, pain or heat, appear in this condition of the yoga, right? So whatever is the, what was ever explained before, because that would have been explained down in Dasya, then these things are there. So the same, whatever is the same ascetic symptoms, that would be the same here for them. So now then they're going to go through them, right? So heat is starting with heat in the body. So, but they're just showing how it specifically manifests. It has the same thing. It's basically the same category, but there might be some fine detail between how it manifests in Dasya and how it manifests in friendship. 3.3.18, heat in the body. O enemy of Kamsa, the strong heat generated by separation from you is most amazing, because it causes even intense heat in, it causes even more intense heat in a very cool place. It has multiplied its heat in the waters of the cool Jamuna and is burning your friends headed by Subal. Srila Prabhupada. One servant of Krishna named Patri once addressed him like this. My dear Lord, you protected the cowherd boys from the hunger of the Agasura demon. and you protected them from the poisonous effects of the Kaliya's snake. And you also saved them from the fierce forest fire. But I am suffering from your separation, which is more severe than the hunger of Agasura, the poison of Lake Kaliya, and the burning of the forest fire. So why should you not protect me from the pangs of separation? Another friend once told Krishna, my dear enemy of Kamsa, since you have left us, the heat of separation has become extraordinary. And this heat is felt more severely when we understand that in Bandiravan, you are being refreshed by the waves of the cooling river known as Banu Tanaya Radharani. The purport is that when Krishna was engaged with Radharani, the coward boys headed by Subal were feeling great separation, and that was unbearable for them. Right? So naturally, just, you know, that they're being absorbed in Krishna, and then when he's not with them, then they feel separation. Right. 33119, like that. So as mentioned, is there in the, they may go into the cooling river, and it doesn't give them they don't feel the heat of separation doesn't reduce. In fact, it increases. Because why? Because he's being refreshed in the cooling river known as Banu Tanaya, means Radharani, being with Radharani. And so just then they're thinking, and then thinking about Krishna, that will make them think of Krishna even more. So because they think more, then the separation becomes greater. So you can see here also a kind of poetry, you see, where the way the verse is given, you can have so many meanings. Like you see, Jiva Goswami sometimes gives a few meanings, or Sanatana Goswami sometimes gives many meanings. And we see here in the one translation, you have one thing, but how Prabhupada's translated, you get even a different one. So that's the advantage of the poetry, is so many elements can be brought out. 33119, thinness. O enemy of the demons, when you went to Mathura to liberate Kamsa, the four elements, earth, water, fire, and ether, and the cowherd boys became meager due to their intense sorrow. Only the air element passing through their nostrils became strong, right? So then, yeah, that breathing would have been strong. Srila Prabhupada. Another friend addressed Krishna thus, my dear Krishna, O killer of Agasura, when you left Vrindavan to kill King Kamsa and Mathura, how the coward boys became bereft of their four bhutas, the elements earth, water, fire, and space. And the fifth bhuta, the air, was flowing very rapidly within their nostrils. End quote. When Krishna went to Mathura to kill King Kamsa, all the coward boys became so afflicted by the separation that they almost died. When a person is dead, it's said that he has given up the five elements, known as bhutas, as the body again mixes with the five elements from which it was prepared. In this case, although the four elements, earth, water, fire, and ether, are already gone, the remaining element, air, was still very prominent, was blowing through their nostrils furiously. In other words, after Krishna left Vrindavan, the coward boys were always anxious about what would happen in his fight with King Kamsa. So there's like being dead, but the breathing element is very strong. So if all these elements are reduced, then naturally there'll be thinness. Right? Jiva Goswami. The four elements, Chaturam Bhutanam, are earth, water, fire, and ether. They are understood to become thin, Tanima. The thinness of ether is understood because the openings of the body became very small as the body becomes thin. Right? Yeah. 33120. Insomnia. O king of the Yadus, seeing the tears in the lotus eyes of your friends Varutapa, the bees of sleep have given up those eyes out of disgust. Right, because the bees don't stay around where it's raining. You know, they always go inside. Srila Prabhupada. Another friend once informed Krishna, when one of your friends was feeling such separation from you, there were tears covering his lotus eyes, and so the black drones of sleep became discouraged from entering his eyes and left that place. When there is a lotus flower, the black drones fly into it to collect honey. The eyes of Krishna's friends are compared to the lotus flower. Because they were full of tears, the black drones of sleep could not collect honey from his lotus eyes and therefore left the place. In other words, he was so much afflicted, his eyes were full of tears and he could not sleep. This is an example of staying up at night because of separation from Krishna. 33121. It's in English. Vacant mind. I'm thinking, what's vachant? Okay, vachant mind. That's vacant. Yeah. Since the son of the king of Braja, my dear friend, left Vrindavan, my fickle mind without support has become so light that it rises and falls like a piece of cotton. Spins around constantly, cannot find a point of concentration. 33122. Detachment. O best of the Yadus, in separation from you, your friends are no longer interested in their occupation of herding the cows. They make millions of attempts to forget about singing and dancing. What more can I say? They do not desire to remain alive. Srila Prabhupada. An example of helplessness is described in the following sentence. Due to Krishna's departure from Vrindavan to Mathura, Krishna's dearest cowherd boys felt as mentally light as possible. They were like fragments of cotton, lighter than the air, and were all floating in the air without any shelter. In other words, the minds of the cowherd boys became almost vacant on account of Krishna's separation. An example of impatience was also shown by the cowherd boys when Krishna went to Mathura. Out of the sorrow of separation, all these boys forgot to take care of their cowherding and tried to forget all the melodious songs they used to sing in the pasturing ground. At last, they had no desire to live anymore, being separated from Krishna. So this detachment also, then there's the aspect of impatience. Right, because the impatience causes the detachment. Like if you're impatient about something, I'll just forget it, right? You know, so before, these qualities, they go together, they connect together. Does that make sense? Yes, no? Yeah. 33123, dullness. Oh, Gokunda, your friends appear like trees on the top of a mountain. As the trees have no leaves, they have no clothing. As a tree has no beauty, they have no luster. As a tree is silent without birds, they are silent. As a tree is without fruit, they are without actions. They are thin with worn, rough limbs. Right, so that's dullness. 33124, sickness. Hero of the Yadus, suffering from the heat of fever and separation from you, all your young coward friends have been lying on the bank of the Yamuna with limp limbs for many days. Srila Prabhupada. An example of stillness was described by a friend of Krishna who informed him in Mathura that all coward boys become just like leafless trees on the tops of hills. They appeared almost naked, being skinny and frail, and did not carry any fruits or flowers. He informed Krishna that all the coward boys rested, resided in Vrindavan, were as still as the trees at the top of hills. Sometimes they felt diseased from the separation from Krishna. And being so greatly disappointed, they were aimlessly wandering on the banks of the Yamuna. Right, so he sees that when you're sick, you become still, right? And like that. So the thing is there, and that stillness, then, you know, then may the sickness may come up or this or that. So these are, you know, you say connected qualities. Yeah? Srila Jiva Goswami. Separation is the fever or illness, viraha jwara, burning with the heat, samjwarena, of that sickness of separation. The bodies have become limp without energy, vishlata gatra. Right? So we see it's from the heat, then you get this sickness. From the heat, if it's too heat, just like if it's too hot, you become lazy. So also from the heat, you can get sick or you don't want to do anything or like that. 33125, insanity. Lord of Mathura, unable to think of you because of the confusion caused by separation, the coward boys have now forgotten how to conduct themselves in this world. Sometimes they fall on the ground, sometimes they lie down, sometimes they laugh, sometimes they run, and sometimes they weep. 33126. Fainting. the Lord of the Marus, having attained a kingdom at sweet Mathura, now enjoys himself and gives bliss to the world. But crying and fainting repeatedly, Gokula has become completely confused. Srila Prabhupada. There's also an example of madness caused by separation from Krishna. When Krishna was absent from Vrindavan, all the coward boys became bewildered and had given up all kinds of activities. They appeared to be mad and forgotten all their regular business. They were sometimes lying down on the ground, sometimes rolling in the dust, sometimes laughing, and sometimes running very swiftly. All of these symptoms gave them the appearance of madmen. One friend of Krishna's criticized him by saying, "My dear Lord, you become the king of Mathura after killing Kamsa, and that is very good news for us. But in Vrindavan, all the residents have become blind from their continuous crying over your absence. They are full only of anxieties and are not cheered at all by your becoming the king of Mathura." Yeah, so just now is that it's so absorbed that then they can, they can faint and madness like that. You know, fainting, madness are all the same kind of thing. It's just when being overwhelmed so much that then nothing functions. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is a message given by one cowherd boy living in Braja to Krishna when he was residing in Mathura. Rudi Tande, darkness after crying, implies continuous state of fainting after crying. Right? So darkness after crying means you're crying and then you faint because then everything goes dark, right? The word Gokula actually indicates the speaker, coward boy, friend of Krishna. This is an example of fainting and separation for those in Shakya Ras. Akulata means by again and again crying and fainting. I have become completely bewildered. Yeah. 33127, death-like state. O enemy of Kamsa, worn out with the pain arising from the waves of fever of separation, the coward boys have fallen down on the plateau of Govardhan and are breathing only slightly. Just as people lament with tears in their eyes when they see that acquaintances have fallen into difficulty, today the deer lament for them, soaking their motionless bodies with profuse tears. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes there were also signs of death caused by separation from Krishna. Once Krishna was told, "My dear enemy of Kamsa, because of their separation from you, the coward boys are suffering too much, and they are now lying down in the valleys, breathing only slightly." In order to sympathize with the boys' regrettable condition, even the forest friends, the deer, are shedding tears. Right? Because it just becomes so extreme. So you see, as they naturally just progress and become more and more intense. So just as the ecstasy that they gain is intensifying, so same way the separation intensifies. Does that make sense? Okay, so then we'll stop here on that, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Sorry. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki, Jai.